Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
My name is Leo Brody. I'm a practitioner. I'm the practitioner, they call it practitioner of the day here. We take turns doing that, you've probably noticed. So I just want to remind you that we are here to pray for you. We practitioners, we're trained, we're licensed by the Centers for Spiritual Living to pray. And we can pray, and we love to pray for you. And one way we do that is if you write a prayer on a piece of paper and put it in that jar. Another way is if you go online. There's ways to connect with us online. Another way is if you join us via Zoom on weekday mornings at 7 a.m., that means you don't have to even get out of bed, don't even have to get dressed, don't have to turn the light on, but you can get 10 minutes. We pray for about 10 minutes, and it's a good way to start the day and remind yourself of who you are in the cosmic scheme, right? We always need reminders. So speaking of which, I'm going to pray right now, do what we call the invocation, the opening prayer. So join me now in knowing deep inside, really for sure, we know that there is one mind. And that mind is my mind. That mind is your mind. It is our mind. We are the collective mind, and we are not separate from each other in that sense. We are separate as identities, but we are all one mind, all one consciousness, which means that nothing is removed from us. We are not separate. We are not separate from the one that we also call spirit, which we also know as love, infinite love. So even though we have these identities and we walk around with name tags, we are all one with the divine mind, which means we are all one with love. So I open this service knowing that this is a place where love shows up. This is a place where love is welcome and where each of us is welcome. And with that, I say, and so it is.
Thank you so much. For those who don't know, I am Reverend Dr. Bob Dean III, Robert Alva Dean III when I'm in trouble. And just very, very happy to be here. I'm saying that mostly for those of you out there in the big wide world that are listening. Most people here, I think, know by now who I am. People ask me, so what do you want to be called? Well, as long as you call me to dinner, I'm good. I like to be called Bob, Dr. Bob, if you want to put a title in front of it, but Bob's fine. We know who we are, so we're all the same thing. We're all part of the same one. I love that song, and right now is all we got. I heard this week there are two things that are 2 days where nothing absolutely could ever happen or get done. Yesterday and tomorrow. So, you know, but yet how many times do we all go there? So, anyway, that wasn't what the talk's about today. That's beautiful. Where is it coming from? I love it. Thank you. All right. Yay. There, right now, it's always the right moment. It's good. So. Normally, I speak mostly from the perspective of science and mind because that's where I started in much of my spiritual path. And sometimes I deviate a lot. Today may be one of those. I'm going to wander around a bit into other spiritual practices. I've explored many different ones, and probably not going to name what they are, but you may get a feel for it as we go through it. I grew up in Florida. On the west coast of Florida. I always thought God punished me because I grew up in Florida, but it was nowhere close to a beach. The beaches were at least 100 miles away because where I lived was right in that crook, if you know the state shape, where you go from swamp to marsh to open gulf. But that was it. I grew up about 9 miles from where the marsh turned into open gulf, And there were some hammocks, we called them out there, that were high enough ground that people built little houses on the things. And there was one place out there called Horseshoe Beach. No beach, Horseshoe Beach. My grandfather grew up there in that part of Florida. His mother and father grew up in that part of Florida, which is pretty unusual given that Florida didn't really develop till after World War II. But let's make this way too long. Let's get back to focused. Okay, so my point is, though, he was a lover of fun, and he loved that part of the world, and he loved going down to the coast, and he loved fishing and hunting and all that good stuff, and taught me everything he knew, and all as much as he could, as much as I would pay attention. And then on a regular basis, though, he did what most grandparents do. You know, grandparents are weird critters. We have these amazing little grandkids, or big grandkids as they grow up, and they give us an excuse to do what we wanted to do anyway, but we thought we were too old. Anybody relate to that? And his thing was he could play and act like an idiot around us that he just couldn't do because he was a politician and he was, had to have a certain image and all of that. So about once a week, he'd gather up me and the neighborhood kids and my cousins, pile us all in the car, and we'd go down to Horseshoe Beach to watch the sunset. It was always great fun. And, of course, we get out, and the kids are all playing along. They're chasing fiddler crabs and doing all those things you do with the water. And then it's got to sunset. We'd all gather around Grandpa, and we'd get really quiet. And he'd say, "Now, if you listen really well, you'll hear it sizzle when the sun hits the water." And we listened really well. And it was always at least one or two of us who heard the sizzle. I won't tell you how old I was before I found out that was a bunch of foolishness. But that's kind of what we're talking about today. We're talking about listening for the sizzle. Listening for that which is between sound, that which is between words, that which is between all the noise around us. Because in that quiet is where God speaks. And forgive me, I'm talking God, but I'm using spirit, life, love, all those words we use for God, not the guy up there that's shooting lightning bolts at us. No. That's where God speaks, is in that quiet in between. Sometimes that voice comes at the strangest of times. In college, I was in a choir group, and we were up touring in the mountains of North Carolina. And the bus ran off the side of the road. Brakes went out. We had a choice. The driver had a choice. You either hit the bus in front of you or the oncoming traffic, or you take to the air. So we took to the air. Off the side. Down into a creek. Hit the bank before we got to the creek and rolled a few times sideways and right into the creek. We landed with, on our side, a busload of college kids. I was knocked out for a second, and then I came to, and everything was completely quiet. I mean, you could have heard a pin drop, just like listening for the sizzle. And then this voice from the back of the bus, from one of my friends, said, "What's black and orange, black and orange, black and orange? School bus rolling down a hill." And we did just what you just did. We started to laugh. So instead of crying and wailing and screaming like you would expect from having been through that, we just started laughing. And we got the giggles, and we were getting up, and we were pulling each other out from under each other and out from under bus seats. Nobody was injured really badly. The front window of the bus had popped out, and we just walked right out into the creek. And then people from the other buses had gotten there to help us up the hill, and we went on and had our picnic that night. See, when that voice comes, it comes as usually as a surprise, and usually in a way we didn't expect. And then it's so wonderful when it does. You hear that, oh, okay. Sometimes that happens in the depths of our grief. One of my favorite movies is Steel Magnolias, because I grew up with those women. And there's a point in the movie where they've been to the funeral of the daughter that died, and everything's so sad, and the mother is stomping around and screeching at everybody, and she's there, I'm just so angry. And she pauses, and they don't know what to say, and they burst into laughter. You know? Sometimes some of the funniest stories you ever hear. You guys are really after me today, aren't you? Okay, we're going to confiscate cell phones at the back. Actually, we're not. While you're doing that, hit Facebook and tell them where you are so we get a lot of hits for where this is happening. Yeah. Okay, so it's those wonderful moments of quiet when the voice comes through out of the silence. And that is our theme today, is out of the silence. So I invite you to pay attention for when these little surprises come, because it's out of the silence. Often. One of my favorite musical experiences was singing in the oratorio Elijah. Anyone know that one? It's a Mendelssohn oratorio. It's high, heavy classical music. Any classical music fans in here? Am I the only one? Okay, there's a few. Well, good. We love you. We love the rest of you too. But it tells the story of Elijah. And there's one point in it where Elijah goes up on the mountain. God calls Elijah to go up on the mountain and talk to him, because God's got some things to say to Elijah. So Elijah goes up on the mountain, and he gets up there, and God approaches the mountain. And as God approaches the mountain, there's a great wind that kicks up, and a big storm happens, and everything goes all nuts and crazy, and the dust is blowing around everywhere. And the music is going, and everybody's singing different parts at the same time, and it's loud and noisy and carrying on. And then all of a sudden, it shifts from that to another phase, another set of lyrics, where instead of the wind and the storms, there's an earthquake, and the ground begins to shake, and the timpanis start to pound, and the earth is great. You know, it's all going nuts. And then all of a sudden, it stops, and the strings start to pluck. Just a little plucking sound, and you hear, and in a still voice, onward came the Lord. And in a still voice. Now, one of the translations is that it's a still small voice, which we've heard that many times, I'm sure. But the better translation is, in the voice of silence, onward comes the truth, onward comes the life. And the music just kind of takes a little light march. And the entire chorus, if you have a large chorus, sings completely in unison in staccato, very short. It is the most dramatic point I've ever experienced in music, where it goes from one thing to the other and just opens you up if you're into that stuff. That's what I'm wanting you to get a feel for today. I can talk about it, but we're going to do it a little later. There's a wonderful book, and some of this is coming from that book, called 7,000 Ways to Listen. And it's written by someone who can't hear. He could hear at the beginning when he was first starting on the book, but his hearing went as time went by. It's a beautiful book. If you are into prose poetry, or poetry prose, I don't know which it is, it's kind of a combination of the two. It's a great book. And it's a great book about all the different ways we listen, more than just with our ears. We listen with our minds, with our hearts. We listen with our feelings. We listen with our eyes. When we look, and he goes through all of those different kinds of things through there. He says, of course, 7,000 is not really a big enough number. It's much, much more than that. But when he says, when we can spend enough time below the noise of the world, even though we have to return, we might even say that from time to time, we live in that unspoken quiet. Then we might be blessed with the experience of oneness. When we take some time to go into that quiet. See, the unspeakable shows itself as the thread of light that holds the web together, the thread of light. And it shows up in everything and everywhere. In the greatest chaos that you can imagine that you're going through, like things changing in the world, there's a thread of light that runs through it. We listen for it. We watch for it. We hear it through all of our 7,000 ways of hearing, if we're willing and if we're able to quiet the chitter-chatter enough to let that come through. It's a sweet, sweet thing. Beautiful thing. I've got four different directions to go here, and none of them seem right. So let me figure it out for a second. Sit with that quiet for a minute. Just let yourself be in that space. Close your eyes if you want. If it doesn't feel safe, then don't close your eyes. Do what feels safe and what feels right in this moment. I'm going to invite you now to join me as we go a little deeper in our listening. Be still and know that I am God, life, spirit, truth. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I be still and know be still be And in this place of stillness, in this place of quiet, we open our hearts and our minds. We breathe in, we breathe out, we pause, we listen. We breathe in, we breathe out, we pause, we listen. Bring our attention back into the room when we're ready. See, I can talk about the still small voice of silence, but I'm not silent. That's why I wanted you to have a chance for a few moments together to dip into that space. You know, and the beauty is we can do that anytime, anywhere, with a nice deep breath and a letting it go. Breath is when your body exchanges with the world around you, the universe around you, with all of the goodness that you breathe in and all of the goodness that you breathe out, that the other parts of the world around you love and accept and take, which is only a symbol for spirit itself breathing in, breathing out, speaking to us, and speaking from us. We are the great I am. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the I am of the universe is individualized as you? You're it. The talk I do at the beginning of the year about the thing itself is always, you're it. Like in an old game of hide and go seek. You're it. You're always it. Remember when you played that? How much fun it was? How much you hated being it and wanted to be it at the same time? Well, now you're it. Like it or not, the game has come to a full circle. So you settle into that, I'm it. And I breathe in and I breathe out and I dive deep. And I come up to the surface in my everyday life. And I dive deep and I rise to the surface. Reminds me of whales. you know? I didn't come up with that. It's in the book. But it's the same idea, that we are like whales. I love it in the song where it said that we are all of that out there. So in some ways, you're whales. Any more potlucks and I'll look like one. And it's okay. It's okay. Because whales are marvelous creatures. And what the, one of the important things that whales do is they do come up and they breathe for a while. And then they dive deep. And then go to sleep, face down, tail up. And sleep down there for a long time before they need another breath. But every so often they have to have another breath. And so they pop back up and get a breath and go back down. We are like that. We go up to the surface of life and we live the surface. And we make our mistakes and we do the things right and we do all the things we're led to and we're called to and we think that ought to work. And so this great intelligence of the universe somehow coordinates all that together into a continued growth, moving toward greater and greater goodness for all of us. And then we dive deep, and our hearts take us down to that place where we connect with ourselves, where we connect with life, where we connect with all that's good. And in the closing part of one of the chapters, Mark says this, in truth, our heart can move through all these moods like whales, who can't stay under too long, or surface for too long. Our destiny to swim above and then below, only to break the surface and go into the depths again. And each time we enter the unspoken, we are allowed to escape the noise of the world so we might descend into the currents below speech, where all hearts beat as one. Underneath everything is the beat of our hearts in silence that keeps the whole world going. Join me as we do a closing treatment here. So we dive deep. We dive deep into our very being, which is the very being of life itself. We recognize that this amazing energy and power all around us of all the things we see in creation and celebrate as it is waking up on this part of the planet right now. That is coming from one universal presence, one universal power, one field of energy and information taking shape and form as everything that is. And that means me, and you and all of us. It means the floor we stand on, the chairs we sit on, all created of the same stuff. All of the physical parts of it coming from Mother Earth, all the energetics coming from the light that animates us. So we are the great stands between people. We stand between light and form. We stand in that space where within our minds and hearts we can go deep into what is. And today we choose that. And tomorrow as we surface and walk around in our lives and see the things happening and experience and do the best we can to respond to it, it is fed by what we have experienced underneath. And so we dive deep again. When we run out of fuel, when we need a breath, we go back up. And so I declare and know that we all are already hardwired for this life, hardwired for this breathing in, breathing out, hardwired to live in greater and greater goodness toward greater and greater livingness. This is what we're here for. This is what we're about. This is why we're here at this particular time, in this particular place. Knowing that this is so, I can easily and freely fall into gratitude, gratitude that I live in a world that works this way, gratitude for all of my sisters, brothers, siblings, all of those that I am connected with, am I connected of all life forms from the mineral kingdom right on up or down. So it is a great gratitude that I am in this space at this time. And for that, I can only celebrate, release, let go, and say together, if you choose, and so it is.